Podcast. This is Megan Spur.
I'm Josh Neal.
Are you? You don't sound very sure of that.
You're not very confident.
I think that's who I am.
Okay, well then I'm pretty sure I'm Charles Spur.
Okay, two games we want to talk about today, but I'm starting off with the one that I've literally only been playing for the past 10 minutes. I have to read this off because I'm going to get it wrong. I Love You, Colonel Sanders, a finger-licking good dating simulator.
It was free on Steam. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm sorry. Honestly, I thought it was a joke at first when KFC Gaming announced that they were going to make a Colonel Sanders dating game. No, they were not kidding. It is actually, it's free on Steam. I'm literally just 10 minutes into it. I cannot speak to anything more than the fact that I have met Colonel Sanders. There is a corgi that is Professor Dog.
For a second there, I forgot we were talking about the game, and I was like, what, you met the Colonel Sanders? I was like,
is he that a makes corpse?
I was like, do you love this game more now, having met the real Colonel?
I think the real Colonel's dead, Josh.
Well, that's a bummer. Also, we can't
way
just
to bring it down, Megan.
Well, I'm going to bring it right back up, because we can't pass over the double entendre of finger licking.
In a dating simulator?
I feel like it was done intentionally.
Yes, obviously.
I can't. Like, the loading screens are this weird, I don't know, like 90s kind of art style of cross lines of biscuits and then fried chicken.
It's drumsticks. They're all drumsticks.
Oh,
of course they're drumsticks.
Yeah.
What kind of monster eats something other than drumsticks?
Well, in a dating game, it's going to be like their eggplant.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's so greasy!
Oh, it's greasy.
Oh, no!
This game is going to be greasy.
Well, at least nobody can see the faces you're making, Josh.
Woof. Do not.
It's getting hot in here. Taking off my jacket.
Do not want. No. Oh, gross. Gross. Have you guys seen the, God, it was a GIF or a video that somebody made of them, like, putting their hands and, like, squishing fried chicken, like, greasy, greasy hand, and then grabbing an Xbox controller?
No.
And just, like, and I was like, you're a monster.
That's a bad, I don't want to see that.
No, it's just a salmonella controller now.
No. Yeah, it's not okay.
That's some darkness.
No.
Some people. They never should have given them internet.
So, I'm assuming this is what happens after you jack off the colonel.
Of course. It's just fried bacon and chicken grease. Just
all over that Xbox controller.
Oh, God.
So this is on PC.
Yeah. I actually don't even know if you can use an Xbox controller with this game.
Oh. Damn it, KFC. Where's my controller support for your dating simulator?
Well, that's not to say it's
about
not there.
The colonel.
I don't know. I didn't try.
I just can't wait for the follow-up of Taco Bell.
Aw, nope, nope, stop it.
And it's the Chihuahua.
No, come on!
Made for furries.
Aw, come on!
Sorry,
it's just, what are you going to do? Like, eat out of a chalupa? I mean, thankfully you guys can't see the face that Josh is making right now.
As he nods in your general direction, yes. This is some disturbing radio.
That is.
This has turned into some freaking Howard Stern shock jockey shit.
No, stop it. Stop it. Okay. All right. I'm sure I'll have more opinions after I finish the rest of the Colonel Sanders dating sim.
But, like, seriously, I'm just wondering, like, did KFC make this?
Yes, KFC made it.
To promote themselves.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good call, guys.
That's
smart
advertising. Well, I'm legit talking about KFC right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're getting lots of free advertising from us.
The description of the Steam page actually says that they made it, like, 3 times. Just to reinforce that, yes, they actually made this game.
Yeah.
Also, yes, we're serious. We made this game.
Oh, that's funny.
I will say, though, it has not, in the 10 minutes I've played it, made me decide that I need to go buy some KFC, so.
I wish we could do, like, a cartoon cutscene where all of a sudden I have a bucket of chicken.
Do we need to drive through KFC on the way home?
Yeah. Glorious bucket of KFC chicken held aloft, glistening in the light.
That's verbatim a line from the game.
Wow. I was like, Charles, that's pretty solid improv.
Oh God, I don't improv anything. That's terrible.
Just a great script reader. Anyway, so more on that later. That's a gem that's available.
Get it while it's hot.
Get out. Leave. No, we're done. Thanks for joining the Drinkadia podcast as we escort Josh out of the building.
It's been a fun five minutes, but we're done now.
No, I brought Josh in because I wanted to talk about Link's Awakening. So over the years, we've done a number of panels together, and a lot of times in our intro, we're talking about like the games that got us into gaming, and I kind of always zoomed out on this part where you're talking about that Link's Awakening was like the game that got you, because all I heard was Link. I did not play Link's Awakening. I didn't play the Game Boy version. Well, not version. I didn't play the Game Boy game. I only played what was available on Nintendo, Super Nintendo. So I kind of missed that game entirely. So Link's Awakening comes out, and I knew that I didn't play the original, so part of this is lost on me, but I've super enjoyed the game, but I really wanted to talk to you about somebody who, you know, this is like your, I don't know, your intro, it's, like this is
yeah,
your...
Yeah, it's my favorite game.
It's like your formative gaming.
It's my favorite Zelda game, and it was the first video game that I played through and beat, and I remember to this day where I was at when I beat it. I was at my cousin Jennifer's house. Outside behind, like, I had just gone and isolated myself, and I was fighting the nightmare, and I remember when I won, and I was like, it was this weird, sick, sad feeling of, like, finishing a novel you love.
Yeah.
And also this exhilaration. And the thing about the game that I'm, like, kind of remembering now is how small it is, and yet how the story and the characters just completely... I became so bonded to them and so interested in them. And that's one of the things that I've loved about Zelda games is when they immerse you in the world with the characters. And I think that's where this game shines is A, it's the weirdest Zelda game, I think.
Yeah.
Ever made. The characters are so endearing and charming and funny. And with this remake, they've like quadrupled down on that piece of it. Like everything looks so beautiful and set piecey. And
okay. So I want to dive into this because straight up, yes, game's gorgeous.
Yep.
Beautiful. It definitely has, what is it called, like, tilt effect, where things look actually smaller than they really are, kind of on the edges.
I don't know. I know they're, like, blurring the edges a bit as you look around, but that's, I don't know what...
Anyways, the intro and the exit anime style, I'd watch that movie.
Me too.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
But here's the thing. Okay, so I never played the original. And you're saying how really engrossed you are in these characters. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if some of that is being swayed by childhood Josh memory.
Probably.
Because I'm not saying that I'm not engrossed in these characters, but some of it definitely doesn't quite make sense to me. There were some things that happened that I didn't understand. The, Charles, you brought up earlier, the ghost. Where that just like pops out of nowhere.
Oh, and Martha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghost that
she
comes
has
out of
a
nowhere.
Name.
And you.
Megan.
I'm so sorry.
You're heartless.
Martha. I'm a terrible human being.
I don't really connect to these ghosts and whatever. I don't know what they're doing in the game. She has a name.
I don't even.
Martha. She had a house and it mattered to her. And you take her back there for a touching moment where she's like, nothing's changed. And she gets some solace and then she's like, I can go to rest now. Take me to my grave.
Yeah.
Come on!
What the hell, okay. Man?
I don't know if maybe it was something in my playthrough, but where the fuck did she even come from? She just started following me out of nowhere for no reason.
Charles started running. He was like, there's a ghost after me. Oh no, it's an angry ghost. And we're like,
yeah, this fucking thing's chasing me. It came out of this area off to the side. I don't know what the hell this is.
Martha does what she wants, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
also,
the hell, man?
You.
Martha was on the island before you got there.
Yeah. Fair.
Also, of all the Zelda games to care about the characters. Spoiler for 20-year-old game, you picked the wrong one.
I was like, what, let's see, 8 years old? My brain couldn't handle complex characters, Charles. I bonded with what was available to me.
Oh, I'm not complaining about the complexity of the characters. I'm complaining about their fate.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That was a downer. That really brought me down when, to save my own life, I slaughtered and annihilated an entire reality.
Yeah.
It gets heavy, y'all.
It does.
the game puts Link through some psychological torture, and there's also an anime about this particular Zelda storyline, and they actually, like, dig the knife harder, and they talk about, in that one, like, Link's not sure if he wants to defeat it because he loves these people, yeah. and they're all real, and, like, he's connected and cares, and he's, like, talking to Marin, and, like he's in conflict around it. And
yeah, then, as you should be.
Yeah, yeah. It's some heavy material in this game.
He met them. He's known them for a few days now, and yeah.
Yeah. I'm what about sure the lady with the broom?
Oh, the old woman that's just sweeping?
And then she suddenly shows up in Animal Town for...
For reasons. She was sweeping over there. She had a new broom. You gave her the new broom.
I didn't give her the broom yet. I got the broom, but I haven't given it to her yet.
She shows up in the Animal Village once you give it to her. I don't know why. She never says. She just shows up there.
You know, those animals are probably shitting all over the place. She was probably like, this has been needing to happen for years, and my old broom was not going to cut it, and what do we got here? We got a bear, we got some bunnies, you know.
Bunch of bunnies, and you know what they're like.
They're probably reproducing. They couldn't generate all the sprites for all their children, but there's lots of them. Also,
and so now, these are the characters that you are really developing these deep emotional connections with.
Oh, yeah. That French alligator, man.
He's pretty cool. He eats dog food.
No, the French one that's doing the painting in the animal village.
Yes.
Yeah, not the other one that eats the cans of food.
Yeah. That's the beach alligator.
Yeah. Different alligator, man.
Sorry. For y'all that don't know, this island is populated with not one, but two, maybe more, alligators that have different jobs. One's kind of a bohemian hippie living on the beach, eating dog food.
And he'll trade you some bananas for it, even though there's bananas on the trees outside.
He's like, perfectly good bananas? I'd rather have the dog food.
Josh, what the hell is this game?
That's what we're all asking ourselves. This is what happens when you get two randos who've never made a Zelda game who get licensed to make it in the shadows. And it was not overseen by, I think, Miyamoto. That's the guy that makes them all, right? I hope I'm saying that right. My Nintendo cred might have dropped a lot. Anyway, he only came in at the end. It was made by two other people at Nintendo who just, like, went rogue and made whatever the hell they wanted.
Yeah!
Which is why
I couldn't stop playing Mario 2, so...
Yep! There's so much Mario.
Which is actually really weird, since Mario 2 wasn't a Mario game in Japan.
That's true, and there's Mario 2 characters and Mario characters. Because it combines
Shy Guys.
That's weird, yeah. Because it has Mario 1 and 2 characters in the same game. Are there any other Mario games that have both of those?
Yeah, I don't know.
Shy Guys and
Goombas. Yeah.
And Piranha Plants.
Yeah, Piranha Plants, the Chain Chomps are in there. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Cheep Cheeps, but what are they actually called? They're
Cheep Cheeps.
That's
Cheep
in Cheeps. Mario 2 as yeah, well.
Yeah. Cheep Cheeps are the fish. Bloopers are the
squid. Bloopers are in it. Yeah.
I did so much fucking fishing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They must have loved fishing, the guys who were making
God
that game.
Damn,
a lot of fish in that game.
Maybe there's just a lot of fishing mechanics. Maybe that was, like, the new thing. I don't know. Was fishing a big part of the original?
I mean, it's a decent chunk of the game. Like, it's a whole little mini game, and you gotta remember, this is not a Game Boy game that's already, like, maxed out.
Sure.
To what it can do. And they added a micro game inside of fishing.
So... game within a game aspect blew your mind.
And at the end, there's the safari thing where you're, like, going through... I think you have to get either almost all the way done with the game or done with it, but there's a part where you get on a raft and you're either shooting things or jumping things as you go. You've done that part.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
That's also, like, another, like, sub-mini game. It's
yeah, there's two versions of that, and I don't know if there were two versions originally, but there are two versions of that.
One only in the original.
Well, I mean, it's the same map, but there's... two goals. One goal is to get as many items as you can. The other goal, if you want to play the different way, is to get through it as fast as you can. Man, even with the hook shot, I think it took me about 36 seconds to get through the whole thing.
Woof.
Yeah, I mean, you use the hook shot to, like, pull yourself faster through it. Apparently, this does take place between Link to the Past and the Oracle games on the Game Boy.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oracle of Seasons,
so the
Oracle
same
of Time.
Link from Link's Awakening, just after he beats Link, after he defeats Ganon, and he's just sailing.
Apparently.
And then it happens before Oracle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. I think I had Oracle of Seasons, and that's the only Game Boy Zelda I'd ever played.
Oh.
And I got that real late. Like, I didn't have a Game Boy when I was younger, like when Game Boys were popular. And I didn't have a Game Boy Color until they were on their way out, right? Like, I got a Game Boy Color because I had picked up, what was it, Pokemon Stadium?
Oh, that game was dope.
So I had Pokemon Stadium for my N64. Pretty sure the first one I got was Pokemon Yellow.
Yep.
And so then I eventually just got a Game Boy Color so I could take that game with me and play it, you know, and develop more characters who I could take in a stadium and make them fight each other in glorious color.
Dude, I loved the Pokemon Stadium. And what was the other one? There was a GameCube one. It was Coliseum. Pokemon Coliseum. I never played it, but I want to play that game. It looked so cool.
I actually first got into Pokemon because of Pokemon Snap.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I had never played a Pokemon game before, but I thought, I was like, this is a game about being on Safari using your camera? That's cool. I'll check this out.
That's so funny.
But anyway, yeah, so I had never played Link's Awakening, and
this game confuses the shit out of me.
It's...
As it should.
Yeah. It threw me for a loop constantly.
So I started the game, wake up in Marin's house.
On Koholint Island.
Yes. And immediately get yelled at for trying to leave and breaking pots without talking to the dude in the house, whose name I can't remember. And then looking at, there's little stands for Mario things inside of it. There were, you know, an empty stand for a piranha plant. There is a, you know, chain chomp in a yard outside. Nothing happens when you throw the chickens. If you attack the chickens, nothing happens. It's a weird game.
You know what?
The chickens have gotten very sedate, and that's actually in the plot. There's talk about it in the game.
one of my favorite parts is Bow Wow and Chow Chow, his daughter, who, when you talk to her, she says, "Diamonds, makeup, jewelry, I want it all."
Oh, yeah, well, she's very she's talkative and articulate until you give her a ribbon, and then she's just like, yeah.
Yip, 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 yip.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yep. That's all she does after that. But before, she's very materialistic, which I found hilarious. And her name's Chow Chow, but, like, not C-H-O-W. Like, Chow as in, like, French, yeah, goodbye.
C-I-A.
That's Italian.
That's Italian.
Damn it.
You were just in Italy, Josh.
I spent a month in Italy.
Did you just say bonsoir to everybody instead of saying...
Apparently I learned nothing.
I'm sorry, everybody in Italy, on behalf of Josh.
I loved you all. I want to go back soon.
Okay, back to this weird-ass game. So, I guess I'm not really spoiling anything since this game is however many years old.
Yeah.
But it was new to me.
Apparently, it's a pretty faithful recreation of the original, so...
And that's part of why Link looks the way he does, in my opinion. It's because... They wanted it to be almost as exactly one-to-one as possible, and they made it as faithful as possible, making it also as beautiful as possible. And so they just basically made a three-dimensional version of the original Game Boy sprite, which is why Link looks that way, and kept, like, his same size and stature for the game so that it would work out. And I'm pretty sure when they were building it, they're like, if we're going to make this a one-to-one with the same ratios that were in the original game with the same things, then Link has to be this big. So what are our options? And I think they came up with something really cool to faithfully recreate this game so well and make it so fucking beautiful and keep all the aspect ratios up with... Yeah. I mean, there might be small, subtle differences, but for the most part, it's like a faithful one-to-one.
Well, I was about to say this isn't the first time we've seen a Tiny Link, but it might have been the first time we saw a Tiny Link with the original.
I mean,
right?
His screen was so small and the space he took up in it, right?
No, I suppose, I mean, the original Zelda.
Yeah,
Yeah, but you have a different kind of screen you're dealing with there that's way bigger than a Game Boy screen.
Well, I suppose, but it was also...
It's like
but
a
it's
ratio.
Also very limited in the way that you could even display things
right
on the NES. So.
That was a 16?
Wait, NES or SNES?
NES, the original Zelda.
Okay, yeah. I was talking SNES, because that's like the era that this game came out.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to remember if this was, when was the first time we saw, like, a Tiny Link?
Yeah, it was
like
definitely the first one.
Yeah, that's, I stand corrected. Yes, thank you. I do know video games.
but
I only do this for a living.
That's funny. But that one did have the full power of your television, So, like, the ratio of size and things could be different than a Game Boy screen.
Yeah, fair.
So, like, there's kind of a limitation on what they did with this game, given its origins.
So, story-wise, because I didn't quite pick on up on this as quickly as I probably should have, when you start, ultimately, you're in a dream.
Yeah.
And it's brought to your attention that you're in a dream by all the bosses that you fight saying, you know, as you destroy me, like, it's going to end this world. Everything that you love, all of this will be gone.
Yeah.
And so you obviously want to destroy the monsters because they're monsters, but at the same time, you have met and cherish all these people and their weird-ass animal villages and people villages and their weird Mario fetishes and whatnot. And specifically, Marin.
Yeah, Marin.
Who, she talks to you about her dream about leaving this island, and she's singing the songs, and, you know, it's hard. I was expecting when we beat the game that you were going to see her escape. You were going to get more than just maybe the sight of a seagull or hear a tune. I thought that you were going to maybe see her next to you or something like that. There was not. There was not really.
It's dark.
No, you were transported into a dream, and you had to kill everybody, you know, in it in order basically to escape.
One of the things about the game, I think, that stands out to me is that when it came out, I don't think there had ever been a cutscene that was the way that the original Game Boy one had it, where you're sitting on a log next to Marin talking and connecting to her. Mm-hmm. And, like, that alone, like, by today's standards, you look back on it and you're like, okay, where's the character development? Like, you're comparing it to, like, Ocarina of Time or something. And it's like, of course, compared to that, like, where there's all this, like, different stuff going on, it doesn't have the same effect. But at the time, that stuff had never happened. And so I remember playing it feeling like I really cared about all the different characters. I loved Bow Wow and rescuing him from the Moblins and, like, bringing him back home. And, like, his owner was so happy. And, like, you're talking to all these different people. And, like, when you get the magnifying glass and you go back and you, like, find new characters in the game and, like, get to talk to them and they have, like, interesting stories. It was, like, for me, it set kind of a precedent for humanizing and bringing in these really, like, relationships that Link was a part of. And yeah, and it happens to be insanely tragic that, like, he's forced to make this choice. The only other person he might be considered to be saving is the Windfish. It's like him and the Windfish that survive. Right?
Who's this fucking owl, by the way?
The owl is just an aspect of the Windfish that's there to help guide the hero to wake him up.
That's kind of what I think. It's like his spirit avatar as the Windfish shows up in his dream as the owl. So he's guiding Link to wake, like, to help him wake up
right.
from
he
the
knows
nightmare.
He's trapped, but he can't do anything about it himself. He needs.
And so he basically probably is guilty for absorbing Link into his dream when Link gets knocked out after his ship crashes.
This is fucking insane!
Yes, it's a really, really interesting, bizarre, crazy, complicated storyline.
It's like, also it's like just follows the trope shit. Of it's all a dream.
Yeah.
This is fucking bonkers.
Also trope.
And you played this when you were 8?
No, yeah, maybe. It came out in 93, but I got it in 96, I think. Or 95. 95 was when I got it. So it'd been out for 2 years. It came as a bundle with the Game Boy. I got it for Christmas. My sister Courtney was like, Dad, get Josh Tetris. I want to play it. And then I got that, and she never played it, and I was obsessed, and I loved that game. And it was the coolest present I ever got. It was my first console, was Game Boy, you know, if that can be considered a console.
Courtney, I would just like to say thank you for that glowing recommendation.
Yes.
For the game that Josh never got.
I never got it. I still never owned it on Game Boy, which is funny. but I did play Donkey Kong Land, which also is a fucking amazing game. Donkey Kong Land soundtrack, I would sit there and I would put my headphones on and just listen to it.
Oh my gosh, have we actually done a podcast recording about, I know that we've talked about you recording video game music with your boombox and then listening to it later.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we actually done an episode talking about just video game music?
Probably not.
We really should do that sometime.
Well, the Donkey Kong series, Donkey Kong Country and Donkey Kong Land, have some of the best. Which, speaking of which, this game also has killer music. And it's based on the original, like, sprite music, but it's, like, all overhauled with, like, symphony music and
yeah.
stuff. It's so beautiful.
I didn't play the original, but the song of... is it the Song of the Windfish?
The Ballad of the Windfish.
It's hauntingly yeah. beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, all this music's so good. I actually feel like they toned down the... is it the Mysterious Woods or the Mysterious Forest?
I think it's Mysterious Forest.
Yeah, the Mysterious Forest. I liked the Game Boy version a little better because it was more intense. Like with its, it like mutes that part really subtly in the background, but it was like kind of like I don't know, edgy and like synthy and like ding. Like it was more intense.
So there are definitely dungeons that were just using original Zelda dungeon music. So I mean,
oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I liked their use of music as well as like their callbacks to...
Yeah. There's some Easter eggs in the music, and there's a YouTube video that details it, that there's like two other games' music that they do like either like slight remixes of or like slow down, and this was in the original, and they've maintained that, but I can't remember what games they were doing it for, but it's really interesting. Like, the music in this is really like thoughtful.
I'm hoping they were Nintendo properties.
They were. Yeah, they were.
Good. Can we also talk about the fact that when you go, what is it, when you go underground inside of dungeons, you suddenly go to a side-scroller?
Yeah, that's the way the original Zelda worked.
Zelda 2 worked that way.
No, the original Zelda, when you go down steps to go from place to place, it goes into a side-scroller.
Oh, that's right, I do remember that.
And you
come down, pick up the raft?
Usually, yes, exactly.
Yeah, yep.
And there's usually like some bats down there you have to throw a boomerang at.
That's right.
And then you go up the ladder on the other side, and then it comes back to the dungeon.
That's right. They cut that in the one you played, probably,
well,
Link to the
so
Past.
I just played Link to the Past, and by just, I mean like 2 years ago, which I don't understand how the passage of time works anymore. But...
Yeah, goes fast.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Link to the Past just did staircase to staircase. They didn't do... the underground passage.
And
or if they did, like, in the beginning when you're going, you go under and you come up, you walk along, it's still top-down, but it's, like, narrow top-down.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
But that's been in all of them. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the original Zelda did it in the same fashion. No, Zelda 2, fucking Link's Adventure, was the weirdest fucking Zelda game.
It was so hard.
Because you were top-down on the world map, but anytime you went into an area, it was a side-scrolling game.
That game just felt like my childhood bullying. Like, I remember the part where you're, like, walking past the fence and the dudes are throwing rocks at you, and I was like, not again. Not now.
Wait, what? Wait, I'm sorry. There are too many messages here that I feel like I need to unpack. First of all, I did not play Zelda 2. I don't remember having rocks thrown at me.
Oh, yeah. Lizards are behind a literal wood fence. You just have to run through. You're like, please let me out of here. And they're just like pelting you and destroying you. And so you come out with like no health. And you're like shivering and alone with your nose bleeding. And you're like, what can I do? You have to cast like magic healing. So by the time, this happened to me countless times. By the time I would get to the final level, I was depleted of all magic. So I couldn't heal myself. I could do no spells. I had like one heart left. I would go in and get hit by one enemy and die. It was like showing up like a bull to the arena, bled and ready to just get destroyed. And then they would just finish me off. And I still never beat that game, but I made it all the way to the final level. But just getting in the overworld to that final level was like, a gauntlet.
Josh, I want to give you a hug so bad right now.
after Dorcadia, this... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, Dorcadia intern number 3 has cuddled up for a hug at least.
Oh, sweet little kitties.
I was going to say, because it is on Nintendo Online, if you want to, like, right after the podcast, we can boot up Link's Adventure and you can give it a try.
You can suffer for yourself.
I need to finish suffering through Colonel Sanders' dating simulator.
But do you... Do you?
Oh, I do, for science.
And by suffering, do you mean
sweet chicken and gravy?
Some alone time with that gravy?
Stop, you guys, that's so gross, I can't. Oh, man.
Yeah, that game's nasty.
Your face is nasty.
It actually is, y'all, she's not insulting you. I've been making really nasty facial gestures. Very, like, early 1990s, like, movie facial.
So the one thing that... So we did beat the game in about... It took about 15 hours, I think.
Yeah, about 15.
In regular mode?
Yeah.
Yes, in regular mode.
In normal.
Excuse me, sir.
I started... This was my catch line. I'll see if I can say it from earlier. I said, when I beat this game as a child, it was on normal, and now I wanted to beat it on hero mode like a man.
You are a therapist.
And women?
Yeah.
Adults?
You.
Other people?
How can you say such toxic shit and be a therapist, sir?
Look, sometimes you have to have some... I'm not going to try to defend this.
No.
Like, well, I'm also seeing a therapist for my shitty coping mechanisms.
Do I need to lay down and tell you about my father and our relationship?
Don't even get me into that.
Oh my god, no, I gotta derail this. Stop.
Let me tell you about my dad.
No.
Yeah, let's not.
Dorkadia listeners, I'm so sorry. This has gone terribly, terribly wrong.
Oh my god. But I am playing it on hero mode, and it's probably going to take me a lot longer than 15 hours. I'm watching the kill count just, like, rise every time I play it.
I died twice.
Oh, dang.
How many times have you died so far, Josh?
65? I think maybe 70.
It keeps track of that on your save screen. It's terrible.
Yeah, it probably, I mean, it could probably show me. I could tell you. It's around 70 or more.
So, I did look it up, and there is a perfect ending. If you can beat the game without dying, in which they do show that Marin turns into a seagull.
Oh, you actually do see it then?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well,
I'm not going to play through the whole game again just to get it without dying.
You ruined this experience for me, Charles, because I did not see that, and that obviously was something I was missing.
Well, I didn't see it either. We didn't get it because we didn't beat the game without dying.
Yes, but you needed to, sir.
Wow.
I see. Oh,
wow.
I see. That's how I ruined it.
Yes.
Because I...
75. I've died 75 times. So, needless to say, I might be seeing that.
Yes.
Yeah, had I realized, I would have been saving often and then just restarting if I died.
Yeah.
And reloading.
I want a bonus special where Marin comes back as a seagull and lands on your shoulder and gives you one little peck on the cheek if you beat it in hero mode.
Oh, I was going to say she just poops on you.
I'd take it.
Yeah, you would.
I'd be like, yes, Marin.
Okay, no. I'm
sorry.
So
I don't know what that was.
This is an all-ages game.
Speaking of the
not
ending.
Not an all-ages podcast.
Let's talk about the ending for just a minute. Let's unpack that. So you go through all this shit, you save this fucking weird-ass fancy space whale.
Yeah, space whale.
Which Megan cringed horribly when I started voicing.
Yeah,
at the end.
Do it.
Because, oh god, what was I doing?
No, what?
No, I think I was doing this voice for it, and I was reading the text, and then I didn't realize it was going to go all Dawson thou and... So, you know, it got really weird really quick.
My friend Sam was over, and she kept laughing at Charles, so he kept doing it more. And I told her that...
Other people appreciate my voices, Megan.
If she continued to encourage him, she had to take him home with her. Because if you broke it, you bought it.
Good point.
It turns out he stopped doing it. That's right. Charles.
Was that all just
Megan is very judgmental about me having fun.
Megan is very judgmental just in general. That's a pretty accurate statement.
So, yeah, I didn't realize what I was getting into.
Well, I didn't know I had to be perfect if I was going to be a therapist, Megan.
Do not burst this bubble for me, Josh. When it comes to therapy,
I'll go back to the projection screen and I'll be the blank... perfect person.
Yes.
You can cast all of your fantasies on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. Yes.
That's what we pay you for.
Yeah. Accurate.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Anyways, yes, Charles.
Right. So, about the ending. You know, you go through all this shit and you save this whale and it's like, oh, thank you so much. You've done me a great service, blah, blah, blah. And it just flies the fuck off and leaves you floating on two logs and a barrel.
Yeah.
Out in the ocean. No land in sight.
I hope
no sail. Nothing. Not even a paddle.
Nope, but apparently a seagull is going to come poop on you.
If you're lucky.
Like, yeah. Hey, flying off. Fucking yeah. Whale with a goddamn saddle on your back. Could you maybe give me a fucking lift?
Well, he does survive. Other games happen.
Apparently he survives.
Hardened and probably not dissimilar to Tom Hanks from...
Castaway?
Castaway.
I was thinking
he gets back with a beard and a heinous sunburn right. And he's screaming Wilson at his...
No, yeah. Mario is just a figment of Link's imagination.
Or the Windfish's imagination. Although maybe they amalgamated when he absorbed another sentient being.
Maybe there never was the Windfish, and it's just the sunburn.
It's true. It could just be...
Oh, he just drank too much salt water.
Yeah, yeah. Link is just having a crazy
hallucinations as he's waiting to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. He passed out on the logs, and it's a fever dream.
Was probably his desire for some food.
And it's the whole intro to Wind Waker.
Is it?
Is that the same Link? I don't know. That's the problem with the fucking Zelda games, is it's not always the same Link.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't think
No, definitely different Links.
Different Links,
Because Wind Waker takes place in the alternative timeline where Ganon wins in Ocarina of Time, and the gods flood the Earth, and then they just have a tradition because they revere the green-clothed guy that tried to fight him and died doing it.
Yep.
And so they just dress kids that are coming of age in that.
God damn.
Wow, that's fucking dark.
Zelda is a weird-ass... series.
I yeah. missed a whole chunk of Zelda. Like, there... I never played... I didn't have a GameCube.
How dare you. The GameCube might be my favorite Nintendo system. You look at the games on it. Double Dash Mario Kart is the most innovative, interesting, cool Mario Kart ever. Where it has these original, like, cool, like, little carts, and you get to double up each other on it, and you get personalized power-ups. It was so fun! And, like, anyway, don't get me started on that. I didn't do Mario Sunshine, but I loved, God, I'm blanking on its name now, you just said it, the Zelda for GameCube.
Wind Waker?
Wind Waker, yeah. Wind Waker was fucking amazing.
So, I played Wind Waker, but I feel like all of this I did not pick up while watching the Zelda animated series, because the only thing I remember from that is, excuse me, princess!
That Link is a little piece of shit.
Yeah, no, fuck that Link.
I'm just glad you work in a, excuse me, princess.
Yeah. It's been floating in my mind for about, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah. The thing I did like about that animated, the animated opening and closing of
Breath of
Link's
Wild.
Awakening.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Is that it really, like, went back to, maybe not in the original instruction manual, but, like, definitely, like, early instruction manual, like, drawings of Link.
Yeah, totally.
As opposed to what we actually saw on screen, right?
Right.
And you get that a lot with, like, old NES instruction manuals.
Mega Man?
Oh, fuck. Mega Man, there's, like, an entire story about the cover of the original Mega Man.
Yes.
Why? Do we have time? Because I want to know why.
I will see if I can find an article and link it in the show notes. But yeah, there's this entire story about how, like, somebody was given a description of Mega Man, and it wasn't correct at all, and they just, like, drew some shit.
And they're just like, put it on. Who cares? We don't have time to pay another artist.
Like, why is this guy holding a gun? I don't know.
So I couldn't find the information about the actual how it screwed up. I could only find the Dorkly article that is... All these.
Pretty solid.
Fuck it, I'll link that too. Who cares? Yeah. If I find something, great.
That one's good enough.
It is pretty funny.
You guys don't like it? Write it in the comments. Tell me I fucked up. I don't care.
So, back to Link's Awakening. Bringing that back around.
Okay, so, since the game came out, and it's at this point been 4 days. 5 days? It's been 5 days. It came out on Friday, yeah. There has been a lot of chatter on Twitter and other places, there was probably even a Kotaku article at this point, I don't know, complaining about the claw game.
Why do they hate the claw game?
People don't like the new claw game because apparently it uses physics, and they don't like that.
Wah. The upgraded claw game plays like an actual claw game that's ripping you off, just like in real life.
But I think that's the problem.
They wanted it to be a fantasy and all easy, and Nintendo was like, no, this is like real life. It hurts.
You know, they'd like...
God, you're so dark, Josh.
You know, there was somebody who was like just tasked a team to like remaking the claw game, and they're like, oh, we'll remake the fucking claw game.
You give us the claw game, we're gonna remake it.
You are gonna get the most exacting claw simulator.
It is an exacting claw simulator.
How much of their budget was set aside to these people playing claw games?
Oh, actually, come to think of it now, this game is rife with little mini games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has the claw game, it has the fishing, it has the little river riding.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the only thing I had heard, or had heard, seen, read, from a couple people.
Words.
Yeah. I heard it in my mind while I was reading it. Was that a couple people were complaining about trying to get the seashell with the claw, complaining that it convulsed wildly and then shot out the side of the claw.
That's kind of awesome.
I did not, that was not my experience with
I
the seashell.
I want that experience. I want it to convulse wildly and then shoot out the side.
I have so many comments, and none of them are appropriate, not only for this podcast, but also for our friendship. So anyways, my favorite was watching Charles trying to get the piranha plant.
No, the piranha plant was okay. Pokey, the cactus, was the fucking worst.
That's true.
Because of the way it's curved, it's...
Because of the way your cactus is curved, Charles?
And had spines poking out all over it.
That's uninviting.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute, I'm sorry. I didn't mind the joke about how it's curving slightly to... a direction, which I won't say, but now implying the spines all over it. I just wanted to be clear.
We're talking about the cactus, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Josh,
what?
Wait,
what?
Do you have something to say about your cactus?
Not on air.
So the first time I thought I got that fucking thing out of the claw machine, the claw brought it over after a couple attempts because it's so tall. The claw knocks it over the first time. It because it can't grab onto it. Like, when the claw comes down on it, it knocks the fucking thing over. And then the claw stops at that height, closes, and I had to do several more attempts. So many fucking rupees wasted on that goddamn thing. Anyway, it picked it up. It was kind of miraculous. It finally gets it over to the little belt to get it off there, drops it on there, and the fucking thing turns, and the ass end of the cactus comes down onto the ramp, but the head of the cactus stayed on the fucking... belt, and it wouldn't let me pick it up because the part that it cares about it wasn't on the floor.
It did that to me with Yoshi, and I was grateful for the life lesson in perseverance.
I'd leave the shop, come back in, spend another 30 fucking rupees.
That is annoying. Also, the cost of the bow and arrow makes me want to steal it.
I never tried to steal anything from the shop. I don't know how that even works. I just...
Did you not know about this?
No.
Oh, okay. So if you steal from the shop and you go back into the shop ever again, the shop owner becomes basically a Sith Lord and uses Sith Lightning and insta-kills you. Literally, from his hands, and it envelops Link and kills him, and the game then changes your name in bold letters to Thief, and you have to play the rest of the game as Thief, and even the Windfish in the end refers to you as Thief.
Wow.
So, have you stolen from the shop owner yet?
No, because I don't want to get branded as Thief, but I will play a playthrough as Thief.
Is there a way
What happens if you start the game as Thief?
Then it probably stays the same, or it bolds it, unless you do it all in bold.
Right.
Then there's no real punishment because you chose the punishment yourself.
So you stole something from him, he brands you as Thief.
All of them then refer to you as Thief.
But does that make a difference to anyone?
Does it change anything other than the fact that your name is now
Thief?
You
have to be humiliated by all of the villagers as Thief. I mean, they're on an island, they're a very tight-knit community. Once you steal from the shop owner, word spreads.
And then even the animal village knows.
Yeah, animal village, the lady broom sweeping over there, the dude lost up in the mountains, all of them. The nightmares calling you Thief.
But do any of them judge you other than calling you Thief?
Of course they judge you.
Josh.
They're not calling you Thief out of innocence. It ruined my life. I just wanted that bow and arrow.
So as a child...
Yeah, it changed my name to Thief, and I was like, no, it said Josh.
You stole as a child. Josh! I feel like this was a well-learned lesson.
So wait, what do you do? Just like pick it up and just walk out?
You have to circle him to where a bunch of times where he's not looking and then run out the door.
Wait, so...
Okay.
So you circle him.
That took a lot of effort.
I was desperate. I didn't want to keep chopping grass to get enough money to buy the fucking thing. I was poor. I was on an island alone.
And then by the end of the game, you're like, why do I have 8 million rupees?
Yeah. I was like,
I probably didn't need the bow and arrow right then, did I?
I could have been patient. There's no forgiveness on Koholint. I'll tell you that right now. Once you steal, it's over. Scarlet letter.
That's not stealing.
Josh.
I think you read the wrong book.
She stole some dick, Charles.
I guess. Okay, if you want to get interpretive about it.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Also, God damn it, you guys.
Yeah, no, seriously, though, the depth of, like, weird shit in this game doesn't end. It just keeps going. In the tiny little amount of geography that they have, they pack in some hilarious characters, and they have some really interesting subplots. It also introduced, one of the mechanics it introduced was a extensive trading sequence, which has become famous and a staple of Zelda games. I would argue that it added, it might have gone there anyway, but it was the first to really start to develop characters, and it set a prototype for Zelda to do that. And the storyline is just really freaking heavy and intense, and apparently more so in the comics, which I've never read.
Yeah, I mean, so Link to the Past actually started using, you know, dialogue cues in the game that you had to start being like, oh yeah, okay, Link's an actual character and shit's actually going down. Zelda's communicating, like or not Zelda specifically, like the crystal.
No, doesn't she communicate to you and wake you up in the night? And then
was that
like
Zelda specifically?
Yeah, it was. She calls you, okay, like telepathically.
Yeah, I remember somebody telepathically wakes up, yeah, Link in, yeah, the middle of the night, and you go out at night in the rain, which, yeah, by the way, was fucking mind-blowing.
It was cool.
At the time, so, yeah. Yeah.
And it's your uncle. You have a family member in that version.
Yeah.
And your uncle has left before you, and then you follow him out, find him. Is he, like, wounded or something?
Yeah, and then you take up the sword and shield.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool intro. That one was awesome. I love that game, too. Yeah. I love all the Zelda games, people, but I had a very personal and intense encounter with Link's Awakening when it was all green on a tiny little Game Boy screen.
No, I mean, I think it really pushed the genre forward a lot.
It set, like, some precedent that they followed up on for sure.
And it was also bizarre as fuck.
Yeah. The fuck is this game, guys?
Yeah, also one of the mechanics that they didn't really emphasize was in the original, when you got a piece of power and your sword was glowing, it didn't, now I think your sword is enveloped in like a red glow, but then it was like flashing, your sword was, and when you hit people it made like a 1980s bomb explosion sound, and they went flying with like a trail behind them of wherever you blasted them to. And in the remake, you'll notice that when you hit them, they do go flying further, but in the other, it was like, boom, and they just go like, and they'd like go across the screen and like explode. Like, huh. You turned your sword into like basically a bazooka.
No, that is, that's not in this
interesting
version.
Yeah, yeah. No, they toned that down a bit.
Did you get the Koholint sword?
I did.
Okay. Does it look different?
Yes, it does have a slightly different like hilt and blade design. So cool. There is some difference in it. Of course, you also get to now shoot swords.
I miss when it was called Sword Level 2.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that only requires 40 seashells. You don't have to track down every fucking seashell, because when you do, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, we also tracked down all 50 seashells. But the Color Temple.
Oh, I haven't played that because I never played the, I only played it in its original form. I never did DX. So I don't know about this ridiculous, stupid Color Temple.
I mean,
it was like, hey, look how exciting it is to have color.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Color Temple's big thing is just choosing between offense and defense.
Okay.
Do you choose to be offense and forever be clad in red, or do you choose defense and be clad in blue?
Which did you pick?
Red, clearly.
I was going to say.
Obviously, I would have chosen blue. I need more defense.
I would probably go for red. Although blue does seem kind of interesting. I like
you would take
genius.
Half damage versus doing double damage.
Yeah. I'd probably go for the red.
That's because you're both monsters, so.
Yes.
Yeah. Accurate.
That's because I like not having to spend, you know, half an hour on a boss.
I want to beat it with the true ending, with no death. But I think I'm going to do that on normal. Yeah,
not on hero. You're not.
No, I wouldn't.
Apparently.
No, God, no. It'd be a lot of saving and restarting.
Well, now that I've finished Link's Awakening, I am going to have to move on to Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah.
Because Megan has already filled out, like, several pages of to-do lists in Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, yeah. All that's left are the time trials. That's the only thing I haven't done yet.
Has the farmer, like, gone to...
Farmer hasn't tried to murder me yet, but he definitely does not like me.
I feel like that farmer didn't deserve what happened to him.
Oh, it gets worse. There's a child...
Do you break up his marriage?
No, but there's a child that you have to, like, you have to trip him in the puddle. It's not just...
That's awesome.
You steal his glasses, you trip him in a puddle, you steal his...
him in public.
Like, you have to lock him in a garage. I'm not making that up. The pantsing in public thing was all Josh. But you do lock him into a garage, you do steal his glasses, you do trip him in a puddle.
You do sleep with his wife.
It's a child, Josh.
What's a child? His wife?
I'm going to end this before we end up on a list somewhere. Oh my god.
Wait, well, once again, it's been great to have a podcast.
I thought we were talking about a goose and a grown man.
Yeah.
What? No!
No, the
we
child!
We changed the child!
Oh.
Like.
My bad. y'all, just for the record, I was still on Goose Game.
Yeah.
Yes, we were still talking about the Goose Game.
Different character.
What?
Oh my god. So
you
Josh
play as
also,
a child?
Yeah, Josh also.
No, you play as the goose.
Yeah.
Tormenting
a child.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, y'all.
We're done. Yeah.
It's over.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am wrapping this up, please. Thank you for joining us at Dorkadia Podcast. You can catch us at Dorkadia.com, at Dorkadia on most social medias, iTunes, Mixer, Stitcher, Google Music. We would like a rating of what? 5 out of 5 what's?
Seashells just isn't enough.
No, you need 50.
I know, you need 50 of those fucking things.
Yeah.
5 out of 5.
We're waiting, Wind Josh.
Fish?
Oh my god, no. I'm
no, wrong. They're terrible. Fuck them.
We're done. We don't need any more. All right, thanks, everyone.
Rubies?
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.